It is Locked On Jazz for the 23rd of March. Watching Donovan knock out OKC, simulations, few notes on the NBA draft, and the fabulous Thurl Bailey stops by for the week. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way more fun to be a Jazz fan. As is probably going to be the case for a little while, we're still in the midst of this madness, and hopefully everyone's hanging on and being smart and social distancing, and we can keep our hospital systems from being completely overwhelmed. I'll tell you, it's I talked to the friends of mine that are doctors. It's pretty clear what they think we should be doing. And that's where I'm taking my cue. I'm not getting involved in any political mess. I talked to my friends who are doctors, and they are terrified of what might happen to the hospital system. So I'll take my cues from them. And hopefully we can get through this. A bunch of things to talk about. Tip of the hat to Ben Dowsett. I don't know if you already follow Ben on Twitter. But Ben is a big basketball fan, has done a bunch of work, writes for Forbes, and done some other things. His Twitter account is at Ben_Dowsett. And you know what? Like, when I'm endorsing him, right, I guess, in a sense, I don't want to say like I agree with everything Ben ever does. He and I go back and forth a lot. But on this, I think he just deserves a lot of credit. He's having great fun with the Jazz playback broadcast and is just buying into him. And he's doing with some great work. He had a super thread last night of kind of rerunning through the game. Oh, I just accidentally started playing it. Didn't mean to. But he had a great thread last night, kind of going through the game last night, all the different plays that he pulled a bunch of highlights from plays, those kind of things. And it was fun. I mean, he talks about certain lineups we saw on the floor. Rubio was out, so we played Favors and Gobert together for a great period of that time late. And then also just watching Donovan and how Donovan looks differently. This was the game in which we beat OKC to knock him out of the playoffs in the Jazz flashbacks last night. So it's a great thread to watch. It was fun to watch Donovan. I mean, he was fearless and youthful and exuberant and took over the game. I wonder what it was like for him to watch. That will be the next question. Is when some of our players go back and watch these games, what is it like for them to go watch? Donovan had 14 in that third quarter and was just amazing. And I wonder, I mean, Donovan's been amazing all year, but I wonder if it inspires or taps into something, or you see something about yourself. I'm not sure, but it's an interesting kind of question to what the impact of watching an old game to yourself is, and I'll check in with Donovan or some of the guys and see if they're watching them at all. Update on Rudy. Rudy is having some more symptoms. Loss of taste and loss of smell is what Rudy's having right now. It's not, he and I went back and forth the other day on a DM and nothing too, I don't have any great detail on it, but it's a bummer. And there are areas of Italy in which they're talking about this, where they've concluded that the loss of taste and smell is an indication that a person who otherwise seems healthy is in fact carrying the virus and maybe spreading it to others. So, poor Rudy, still 10, 11 days through this, is having, symptoms. Best thoughts are with Rudy. Hope he's fighting through it all right. Well, I'll keep checking in and hope that he gets better. That's a pretty incredible physical specimen right there. That is still having symptoms. I mean, not asymptomatic, right? So that's a little unnerving in that regard. The latest on like kind of where we sit, and you're trying to read the tea leaves of what's going on. It does, you know, the Surgeon General came out today and said he expects this week to be worse. The Olympics seem to be really teetering, right? Canada announced yesterday that they're not interested in going. I think Australia did the same thing. I don't you know, I was trying to figure out what that means for us. The Olympics are supposed to start July 24th, and people are already saying, we're not going. The Olympics are different. You know, the NBA and the NFL and the NHL have 1,200 athletes. The Olympics have 11,000. You know, we're pretty international with 64 countries, but they're coming from all around the world and they're staying in those Olympic villages with 11,000 athletes. I'm not sure that's a good indicator to anything NBA or NHL related to when we get back to basketball at all. But that is, it's still at least eye-opening, right? That's July 24th. And we have two countries that have come out and said, we're not sending athletes. So it does, you know, sounding more and more, at least, that the Olympics will get postponed. And that's, you know, that's not a great indicator for us of what we have coming up or where it's going. Fun one this weekend, by the way, on FS1, they ran a NASCAR race yesterday and it felt completely normal. And then it was actually a video game. And I guess they got the actual racers, from what I understand, to race it. NBC Sports is broadcasting simulate of Washington, the Wizards and Capitals are, instead of running their game, are running hour-long simulations of their game from video games. It's not quite the same, but we are all getting awfully creative in everything we're doing. NBA's got their whole NBA Together program that's going on right now with airing all those games. So that's good, fun to watch. Hopefully you've gotten a catch to follow all of those things right now. So that's kind of where we sit. I haven't done any crazy basketball research. I'm sure I'll start into some of those things here coming shortly. I did sit down with Thurl Bailey. We'll kind of review that night. And then, you know, none of us have seen each other since. And then we'll talk some basketball throughout and get his perspective on things throughout this week. Thursday, we'll do our live show. And Friday, we'll figure out where we are. And then we're going to start some fun features. 5 greatest moments in franchise history. And we'll go back through those and start looking into those. 5 favorite moments of this season. We'll try to get back into those a little bit. We'll do a bunch of, we've got some programming scheduled. So we'll keep rolling and have a bunch of great things for you. I do have a question. I know Salt Lake City closed their golf courses today. Did anyone play this weekend with the cups up? And what was your reaction to that? I heard that the Salt Lake City golf courses all played, and this was around the country, that they played with the cup up an inch, so you didn't have to reach into the hole, so it bounced off the cup and rolled out. Did it increase pace of play? Sometimes I always feel like the greatest inventions come out of necessity, and I'm wondering if just from an amateur standpoint, did it make it easier to putt? Did it make the game faster? I'd be really curious on whether or not that's, I don't know, sometimes we discover things, right? People I talked to played this weekend said the pace of play was great because everybody was walking. So you eliminated kind of the slow play cart stuff. Walking also on the right course can be faster because everyone goes to their ball, particularly if they're all 6 feet away from each other. Thanks for tuning in today. I appreciate it. I know this is all kind of funky, and I appreciate you still making this a part of your day. Our numbers actually were really pretty good last week. You're amazing. All right, Thurl Bailey will be joining us coming up. We'll review that night in Oklahoma City. We'll chat about some things. You can just learn more about Thurl's just the best. He's just comforting and wonderful and makes you feel good. And it will be, I think you'll enjoy the conversation. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Chevy. The Murdochs are doing a bunch of things right now to try to make things better for you if you are in the need of a car. I mean, obviously, transportation is essential right now, and there might be a circumstance where you need it. So here's what the Murdochs are doing. 0% on all models. No payments for 90 days. It's called the Murdoch Sure Plan. Then, if you want to do, you can do all your shopping online. So you go to MurdochChevy.com, and they have the Murdoch Sure Plan. So you can transparent out-the-door pricing quote, get pre-approved online. They'll bring the test drive to you. You can be in and out in less than 60 minutes. They have 0% financing for 84 months and no payments for 120 days right now. Trying to, if you're in the need for a vehicle right now, trying to make it as easy as possible. The 2020 Silverado and the Colorado truck line is incredible. The Traverse, the Equinox, and that Blazer I drove for a while is just fabulous. So Murdoch Sure includes the following for you. 0% on all models, no payments for 90 days. People, you can shop while your vehicle online, transparent pricing, and then if you need a test drive, they will bring it to you. That's what Murdoch Sure is as they try to help you out in these times. So transparent, convenient, and hopefully a little wow factor in there. That is Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross and Linden, and maybe most importantly, online at murdochchevy.com. Thurl Bailey joining us now, which should make everyone happy because Thurl just does that to people. I'll actually even share how Thurl did that to us in the midst of being quarantined in our concrete little room that we're in Oklahoma. But Thurl, I try to always be optimistic and positive. I've come up with the only single positive of everything that's going on right now, and that is that they just replay the NC State game. You're 30 for 30 all the time, and it allows you to relive that great moment over and over again.
Well, that's nice of you, Dita, to say. It's the single positive thing. I mean, there's some things going on, obviously, with our families that's been nice. But I can watch that rerun of the championship game as much as they'll show it, because I don't get tired of reliving it. But it's good that people get to see it, and a lot of people know that story. So I hope, especially during this time, you hope that's something that's entertaining and also kind of shows them something historically about what a team nobody really knew about could do.
There's it's fun to rewatch it because it's the famous storyline is the final game, but there's so many elements before that, right? There's the comeback, and there's you actually did some really high level analytic fouling in one of the games, which I of course like. You almost lost in what was it? Round Pepperdine, was that round one or round two where you seemingly are down and out?
That was round one. That was the first game, and you're right, because people like to talk about the Houston game, the championship game, but for me, that the most difficult game on that journey was the Pepperdine game. The first game of the tournament ended up in double overtime, and we were down in that game, if I recall, with a couple minutes left, like almost double digits, like nine or 10 points. And just crazy stuff was happening to get us back into the game. Our point guard, Sidney Lowe, had fouled out. And then I realized when I watched it that the announcers were saying, oh, Sidney Lowe fouled out. This is his last game. Congratulations to him. We come back and win that game. It was unbelievable.
Wow, it's also get announcers, you know, all these old games are probably not always the best one for announcers at this point. It is fun to go rewatch everything. I rewatched the game six of the Spurs and the Heat, and we all think about the Ray Allen play, but there's a whole overtime that happens after that. There's even more there's so many controversies and so many decisions in that game six of the Spurs and the Heat from that NBA Finals. They watched that. It has been, you know, enjoyable to go back and watch kind of old games. We saw Donovan against Cleveland the other day and the Roots or the AT&T Sportsnet, you know, Jazz playbook that we talked about. So in that, those, you know, you never have time to do that. And it's been interesting at least to go see those kind of things again.
Yeah, and you know, when we rewatch them, we always try to watch them from a different perspective instead of just watching, right? We'll look at things differently. We'll maybe look at the bench or look at the coaches a little bit more and how they were coaching or a specific player or play. So there's always something different. It's kind of like a movie, right? A really good movie. You go back and you learn something different every time you watch it. So it has been a good time to be able to relive some of that stuff.
Let's go back to the night in Oklahoma City. There's a funny, you take this great picture, right? There's this great picture that you take that's me, you, Bowler, Booner, and Kristen. It's like the five of us. You tweeted out our starting five. I don't think we could have possibly imagined what was Like, that picture to me, like, in our little world, and maybe even, some, like, is going to be, like, the before and, like, the world after, and I'm not sure when the world after ever reaches back to that level, right? Like, I mean, who knew what was about to happen?
Oh, I don't think anybody knew. You know, it was one of those moments, and like you said, it will be kind of one of those moments in time. Obviously, we have that photo of us there, and it was kind of like, you know, we're going to get this thing started. We got the whole group down here on the floor, and we're ready to go. And so when I look at that picture, I think and I say, wow, you know, I'm really glad I did catch us in that moment, because everything after that was just an amazing ordeal, if you will. It's kind of surreal in a way.
Bowler and I were talking the other day, I think it might have been a text message, and we were kind of going back to the picture of all of us in that and perfectly nice room. It's just concrete room, done up very nicely, no windows, two television sets, a shower, a bathroom, and a sink, right? Like, that's where we all were.
Yeah.
And no complaints at all. We were treated great. Steve Smith, I think, found that room, like, give him, you know, thank you to everyone. Like, we didn't, they very easily could have just put us in a hallway, right? We could have been sitting on the floor for 6 hours. We had televisions and they brought us food. It was, everything was fine. But I thought, Bowler and I were saying it was interesting, and I'm sure this is the same way the team felt and some other things, is that you actually kind of saw everyone's personality. Like, I don't think Ron said a word for the entire, like, 6 hours, right? He was just quiet and even cute.
Right.
Other people had other emotions. Bowler was talking to his family the whole time. I was working, you know, typical to who I am. I went to work, right? I went in the corner, set up my computer. I went to work. Like, that's what I do. You kind of...
And Kristen?
Kristen was more emotional than some of the rest of us, right? KK was concerned. KK has the heart. KK, like, you know, yeah. We all have our Wizard of Oz. But you were kind of the... I felt like you were the positive energy guy, which you actually, you know, you just kind of are. But, like, were you doing that consciously? Is that just who you are in that setting? You didn't, like, come out and say we're going to be all right, but you always had just kind of a good disposition to what was going on.
No, I think that's me. I think you're right. We were all kind of, I mean, our personalities kind of came out. And I think all of us in that room were, I mean, nobody was frantic, right? I mean,
right.
I'm known anyway to be a very patient person, right? Until I'm not anymore. But, you know, I think my first natural instinct was, like everybody else, let's talk to the folks who may be worried about us, who are the most important. So I think everybody got on the phone and reassured their families or let them know what was going on so they wouldn't hear it from somewhere else. They heard it directly from us and that we were okay and just waiting. But after that, I think we all kind of clicked into our personality modes, right? Like you said, you kind of went to work, and Booner, you know, he chimed in when he felt like it, but he, you know, he was kind of cool, calm, and collected. But I think me personally, I'm kind of that guy who wants to make sure everybody's cool. They have what they need. They brought us food, obviously. And but, you know, it wasn't, you know, if other people who hadn't gone through that would have guessed how that room would have been, I'm not sure that they would have guessed that it would be that calm. And let me tell you something, David. What's the word for it? I think the scale of respect that I had for Quinn Snyder couldn't have gone any higher, because I respect him to the utmost. But when he walked into that room and was Quinn Snyder in a different light, in a different situation, just broken. The ceiling was broken and it went way up. But I thought he handled that and us and was so inclusive. Like you said, everybody went into their own modes, and I think that was Quinn Snyder at his best.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, he went from being, we're going to take care of you, you're going to be all right. He was very loving and caring to those people that were, you know, kind of had the little bit of a moment of panic or real concern or fear. He was incredible. And then I think also remarkably, we were not, we were not with the team. We were in a separate room. We never felt as though there wasn't like any feeling we were going to be forgotten. I thought we might have spent the night there. Like I did think there was a point where we were going to sleep on the floor, like, which was would have been fine, right? Like it would have been comfortable, but there's a lot worse things that could have happened. I thought that was a possibility, but it wasn't as though I felt like we were ever going to be forgotten.
Well, he could have sent anybody else in there. He had assistant coaches. He had other people. And that would have been okay with me and us, I believe. But no, it was him. It was him that walked in and kind of calmed the water, so to speak, gave us information that he had. It was like at that moment, we were his players. We were on his team.
Yeah, I'm guessing he is dealing with a 14-day quarantine really well.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine anybody's brain who would be less good? And also, like, his need for competition, right? He's always trying to find something.
Yeah. He kind of reminds me of you a little bit.
Thank you. I think he's on a higher level than I am on every regard. He is Thurl Bailey. We'll continue. We'll chat about the season and where we are and what this is all about and get some of his perspective as we continue here. Locked on Jazz with Big T Thurl Bailey. Thanks very much for Big T for joining us. You can tweet him at Big T. The real estate world is changing in front of us because of what a Utah company is doing. BYU Business School students came out of BYU Business School and they transformed the way that the property management world was looked at with Entrada, and then now they've taken it to the real estate world. And Homie is doing amazing things for you. Over $50 million in savings from commissions. Over $1 billion of sales transactions in 2019. In fact, an academic study from BYU professors showed that not only are they saving you money, average sellers are saving $10,000, but they're also selling homes for more money 8 days faster over the past 3 years. Some of you right now need to sell a house. Like, that's the reality of the world that you planned on it the whole time. We have a really close friend who's a school teacher. Her husband moved to Lincoln, Nebraska, and this is when they were selling. Like, they don't get to pick and choose. So use Homie and find out what Homie can do for you as a seller. Homie's saving people $10,000, and you can also buy a home from Homie. Text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. Get connected with a Homie agent, see what they can do. Find your dream home, tour homes, make offers, negotiate the best deals, and work to get you $5,000 back. Every dollar, every cent right now certainly would help, and Homie will be there for you. Text LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. Thurl, you always have an interesting perspective. I mean, I love talking basketball with you. I also like just going to lunch with you, right? We share thoughts on the world. What is your feeling on just kind of what we're experiencing right now and what's going on?
Well, you know, I think I have a different perspective now than I did, you know, obviously earlier, because I think we're all a little more educated about it. Not that we know everything. I don't think anybody has all the answers, or obviously we wouldn't be at this point. And I still don't think it's gotten to its worst point. But I feel a little bit, you know, I'm not even thinking about what we're going through as much as the folks in Italy, right? I mean, it's the complete shutdown of a country. Complete. I have friends over there. At least they're able to WhatsApp me and let me know what's going on. I check on them. I go over every year to do basketball camps for 3 weeks. And so I get the information about everybody is just at home. Nobody's going anywhere. Everything's shut down. And, you know, other than those nights for dinner are probably the most awesome ever. You know, we haven't reached that point yet, and maybe we're close, maybe we're not. Maybe that curve will flatten a little bit before it gets that bad. But, you know, I just look at it as I never thought in this day and age with the technology and the advances that we've made in medicine and other things that I would ever live to see this kind of thing happening to our universe. And so it's been a real education for me. Not that I can do a lot about it, but I can understand preventative things, and now everybody's going to be a little more careful, you know, germ-wise. I hope not to the point where we're afraid, but I can only think of, you know, 9/11, and you know, a few things in my lifetime that have come close to where we are right now with this pandemic.
Yeah, the 9/11 for this generation is probably high up on that list, but that's different. There's a weird aspect of this whole thing that you don't want to interact with other humans directly, right? Like that.
Right. That's right.
It's a weird. Right. It's a weird subtle message you're sending when you walk by. As someone walks through the door in a grocery store, you don't want to be near them, so you back away. That's a weird message we're sending.
Yeah, everybody's, you know, knowing that what we know now, I mean, everybody, some are in masks, some aren't, you know, and it's just, I don't know what long-term effect that will have on us collectively as a country or as a world, but that is a weird thing, you know, because we're so used to, I mean, that's one, my personality is I love people, right? So am I going to act differently now? Am I going to, you know, be more protective of that? Am I not going to talk to people as much? Are we going to get back to that kind of normal instead of making this the new normal? Yeah, there's a lot of questions there on that side of things that I think have yet to be answered.
Thurl Bailey with us here on Locked On Jazz. Thanks so much for Big T for taking the time. What do the people in Italy tell you?
Well, first they want to make sure that we're okay. You know, everything is about love for them. You know, how's your family? You know, we're thinking about you. We love you. And then they kind of go into what's happening over there, that they're not panicking. The Italian culture anyway, David, as you well know, is a loving culture. It's a family culture. I mean, even when you're old enough to move out on your own, you just build another room or another floor. And a lot of times you live with your family, take care of your grandma, grandma cooks, you know, that Italian culture. So it doesn't feel like through their messages that there's any panic. They're just following the instructions they've been told. But every day there's somebody who dies or multiple people. I think they have the highest death rate right now. And so, so it's scary, and I don't sense any fear from them. They really haven't been affected directly, but I think they know some people who have, and they're just trying to instill that calm that culturally they already have, and just reach out and make sure that we're taking care of ourselves, and we hopefully don't get as bad as they are over there in Italy.
On the basketball end of things, Adam Silver the other day did a press conference or interview with Rachel Nichols, and it was clear he was trying to establish the value of sport as a diversion and a release away from the stress. Do you see that same value?
I do. No, I do. And I think basketball and sports in general play that same role in a different way, you know, after 9/11, I think people were looking, and that was a sad thing. This is a sad thing. You're talking about human life. And so you need to get out of that funk, if you will. You need to find something that can draw your attention away, even if for a moment, for a couple of hours. And so, yeah, I totally agree with him. And you also remember, and I don't want to compare necessarily this to 9/11, but I want to compare kind of our long-term reaction is the fact that every day on the news was a 9/11 story, you know, and the longer it went on, the more good stuff started to come out. But there was a time there when you just didn't want to turn on the TV because there was nothing else that could take you away from it. And so I think we're at that point now where everything is about the pandemic, is about the COVID-19. And, you know, look what we're doing. We're replaying some significant jazz games for Jazz Nation. So, you know, at least they can have something, right? They can have some kind of a release. So maybe it's just for that moment of time, and they kind of go back to it. But yeah, I just think that it's something that sports has always done that, and I think it's a really good time for people to kind of draw away from all the news stories, keep informed, but maybe find something else, maybe with their families. Let me tell you something. I think we played every board game except Twister that they've ever made, because that's what we're doing as a family unit right now to kind of escape that.
What are the Bailey board games?
Oh man, we have a lot. My wife just bought a few. One was Boulder Dash.
Okay.
The other one was, matter of fact, they're in there playing that right now. Clue.
Okay.
There's Skip Bo. There's Uno. We have some card games that we play. But yeah, my wife she grew up, so they didn't risk, I think. But yeah, it keeps us busy. And I've got my daughter who even lives nearby here, just moved her stuff in, and my son from Marquette obviously is here. So we've got all five of us here in this house, and you know, we're not at that point yet where, you know, we're getting tired of seeing each other. So it's been a good thing so far.
Well, you told me you just run next to her when she's doing the Peloton, so and feed her like, right? Like,
yeah, I have to. I don't. Basically, what she wants me to do is stand next to her and hold her towel and water. But I figured I might get my exercise out of it and just jog in place and wipe her brow. No, it's not that bad yet, but you know, you do have to find some sense of activity through all this too. That's another release. You know, it's difficult too, because pretty much all of the health clubs are shut down, and so you don't want to get too sedentary, and you got to find some way to. And you're the Peloton king.
Well, I haven't checked. She trash talked me pretty good that she was going to smoke my PR, and I haven't checked to see whether she achieved that or not.
Well, I'm just going to let her believe she smoked you, right? Because that's what husbands do.
And so, and you're saying from my standpoint, it'd be a bad idea if I pointed out that she didn't.
No, you need to. You need to, because that's on you.
All right, I'll have to check it out. He's Big T. We'll talk basketball tomorrow. We just thought we'd update you on everything that's going on with Big T. It is a Monday edition of Locked On Jazz. Josh Lloyd had fun talking to some of the local experts on the biggest stories with all the things in their favorite moments of their season. So feel free to go grab that at Locked On NBA. And Hollinger and Duncan had a Monday edition as well. So go tell your smart device right now to play podcast Hollinger and Duncan, an NBA show.